Good morning. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the sixth chapter, we will begin there in our lesson here this morning, Matthew chapter 6. Brother Roger Hillis was with us last Sunday morning, and we've all heard him say many times, "More than anything in the world, I want to go to heaven, and I hope you do too." And Brother Larry made a comment about that statement in the Bible study that we had in the adult class last Sunday morning, alluded to the fact that the importance of the first part of that phrase, because there's so many people who want to go to heaven, but they don't want it more than anything in the world. There's so many people who want to please God, want to follow His Son, but they don't want it more than anything in the world. And so there's a need for us, certainly, to want to glorify God, to follow His Son, ultimately to follow His Son all the way to heaven. That's important, but it's even more important for us to want that and pursue that more than anything in the world. And we're going to touch on that principle, that theme in our lesson here this morning and also, Lord willing, this afternoon as we look at some things that that means if we're truly going to want to please God and want to go to heaven more than anything in the world, how that impacts our lives. It really is a question of comparative values, comparative affections. It's a question of what matters most and what really matters most to us, and what we thus choose to prioritize first. We see a number of passages in Scripture that show the importance of prioritizing as God would have us to. Matthew 6:33 might be a verse that is the most well-known that really touches on this theme, as Jesus there, and the context is dealing with the need to not fret over various concerns of life, to not allow them to consume us and so forth to the point that we are distracted from our purpose. But in this context, he says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And it's important to note here in this verse, Jesus certainly teaches the need to seek the kingdom of God. But he doesn't just teach the need to seek the kingdom of God. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And so that word "first" shows the priority that needs to be placed on this. And that's what we're going to be touching on as we go through our lesson here this morning and, Lord willing, this afternoon. And so, for instance, one application of this principle is that we need to not just want to go to heaven. We need to not just want to please God. We need to not just desire the praise of God, but we need to want this more than we want the praise of others. Notice in John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, we see a description there of some of the Jewish rulers of Jesus' day. In general, this group of people tended to just reject Christ completely during His earthly ministry, but there were some who didn't follow the general rule. There were some who did have a more courageous attitude than others, and there were some who didn't have the courage, didn't stand for what they knew was true about Jesus, but it is evident that they did believe internally that He was who He claimed to be. But notice what is said about some of these individuals in John 12, verses 42 and 43. It says, "There nevertheless, even many of the rulers believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they didn't confess it, so that they wouldn't be put out of the synagogue." And notice what verse 43 says, as divine commentary shares with us what it really was that was at the root of the issue. Verse 43 says, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." And so these Jewish rulers who did believe Jesus is who He claims to be, but were not willing to confess it, the surface level reason for that, if you will, is that they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. That is, we might say, the most immediate reason, the most immediate cause of why they didn't confess their belief in Jesus. But what was really the root cause, what was the heart of the issue, verse 43 shows, is that they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. It doesn't indicate here that they didn't like the praise of God, that they didn't want the praise of God. It wasn't a question of would they like the praise of God? Would they like to please God? Would they like to make it to heaven? The question is, what do they want more? The question is, do they want the praise of God more than the praise of men? Certainly the answer needs to be yes for each of us to that question. We need to love, we need to want, we need to desire the praise of God more than the praise of others. And a similar point to that, but a little bit different, is that we need to want to please God. We need to want to make it to heaven more than we want to please others. And I realize this can be very similar to the last point, but it could be a little bit different because the last point gets to more a problem of pride, a problem of wanting to be exalted, wanting to be esteemed highly. And we might say, well, I don't really have that desire for self-exaltation and preeminence, but we might be somebody who is really, we might say, a people pleaser, and there's nothing wrong with that in itself. But we might allow that to get the best of us and to want to please others, want others to be happy with us more than we want to please God. And that certainly is not going to allow us to be on the path to heaven. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, as the Apostle Paul was writing what was clearly a difficult letter for him to write to these brethren at Galatia, these brethren who it's evident he cared for so much, he didn't want to have to say all the things that he says to them in rebuking them throughout this epistle for allowing the influence of Judaizers to lead them astray. But as he touches on what it was that really guided him throughout his ministry, whether he was giving rebukes or giving commendations, the key was, I want to please God. As he says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, am I now seeking the favor of men or of God, or am I striving to please men? For if I were still pleasing men, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Now, it's interesting, and it shows the key for context here when thinking about this statement and to reconcile it, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 10:33, as we looked at, I think it was just last week or the week before. When we looked at 1 Corinthians 10:33, we saw that Paul said he was always striving to please others. But his point in the context there was to show his selflessness, show how just like Christ emptied himself and was constantly thinking about others and was going above and beyond to do what he could to help others. Paul says, I'm following his footsteps in that, and I exhort you to follow me in that regard as well, to not just be thinking about self, but be thinking about others. Here in Galatians 1:10, he's talking about a question of something that someone wants from us that would please them, that would assure that they would be as likely as can be expected in a good relationship, if you will, with us, and to look at us positively, or something that would upset them, we might assume at least, but would please God. When we're faced with that decision of, am I going to do what pleases this person, or am I going to do what pleases God, we've got a desire to please God, as Paul showed he did here in this verse. And so it's not just a question of, do I want to please God? Do I want to go to heaven? It's a question of, do I want that more than I want to please others? In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we see another verse that ties in with this principle, a little bit different context here, as we see that the apostles are being questioned by the Sanhedrin. They've been imprisoned, and they were now free and being tried before the Sanhedrin, and they were questioning, well, why do you continue to preach this message that we told you? You must stop preaching. You must stop teaching. And this is where Peter and the apostles answer and say, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, in this situation here, we see a situation where those who were in positions of authority, at least among the Jews, were wanting one thing from the apostles. And they knew God was wanting something else. And we see that they had the courage and the resolve to determine, we're going to obey God rather than what others desire of us. And there's a lot of things that we can learn from this. The most immediate thing, of course, is to recognize that God's authority reigns supreme. And when He tells us something, no matter who tells us something different, we've got to choose to obey Him. But this really helps us to see this principle also, this need for us to want to please God and want to go to heaven more than anything in the world. Because there could be a situation where one person is telling us one thing, maybe it's somebody we're really close to and we have a lot of trust in, and they're telling us one thing, and we'd really like to go along with that. We'd really like to please them by heeding what they've told us. Maybe it's something that we ourselves have believed for a long time. It's a long-held view that we have. And we've got to ask ourselves the question upon coming to recognize, well, God's Word teaches something differently. We've got to ask ourselves the question, not just do I want to please God? Do I want to go to heaven? But do I want that more than I want to hang on to this long-held view that maybe someone real close to me is insistent on, that maybe I myself have held to for a long time? Do I want to go to heaven more than I want to hang on to that? And then I want to please this person by doing what he or she expects of me? Or do I really want to go to heaven more than anything in the world, to the point that I'm willing to accept whatever hardship comes my way by displeasing this person in order to please God? We also see an example in Scripture of a specific group of people to hone in on that we need to want to please less than we want to please God, and that is our family. As we see in Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 34 through 37, when Jesus there was speaking, he says, first of all, don't think that I came to send peace. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And he explains what he means by that in the next few verses, as he goes on to point out in verse 35 of Matthew chapter 10, he says, I came to set a man at odds against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me isn't worthy of me. Jesus, in saying, I came not to send peace but a sword, he explains in the next couple of verses, here's what I mean by that. As the embodiment of the truth, as one who delivered the truth both through his own words and also through the teaching of his apostles and other inspired writers, Jesus has given a message that is a divisive message. Not that it pursues division itself, but it's divisive in the sense that some people respond to that message with a good and honest heart. Some people respond to that message as Jesus' true sheep who will heed what he says, and other people respond to that message as truly goats, as those who don't have the right kind of heart. And Jesus says that's going to happen within families. There's going to be families where there's sheep and there's goats within that family, if you will. There's going to be families where there's some who respond to my message with a good and honest heart, and some who do not. And as a result, there's going to be division within families because not everybody responds to the truth the same way. And so in verse 37, he presents this challenge where he shows you're going to have to choose who you love more. You're going to have to choose who you want to please more. It's not just going to be a question of, do you love me? It's not just going to be a question of, do you want to go to heaven? It's not just going to be a question of, do you want to be my follower? It's going to be a question of, do you want that more than you want to please your family? Do you want that more than you want to please those closest to you? Do you want to go to heaven more than anything in the world? That means, among other things, do you want to go to heaven more than you want to please your family? But as we think about these last couple of points, the need to not want to please others more than we want to please God, and the need to not want the praise of others more than we want the praise of God, it ties in with the fact that the majority of people in this world are not going to praise us, and many people are not going to be pleased with us if we choose the path of pleasing God and going to heaven. We see this principle brought out a couple of chapters earlier in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. As Jesus there was speaking in the familiar Sermon on the Mount there, and he says in those two verses, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he says, enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And he uses the word many to describe who is entering in by this gate. He says in verse 14, how narrow is the gate and restricted is the way that leads to life. And he uses the word few to describe those who find it. Many contrasted with few here in these two verses. That shows that the majority of people are headed down that broad path that leads to destruction. Doesn't mean the majority of people want to go down that path. But it's not just a question of who wants to go to heaven. It's a question of who wants that more than anything in the world. Who wants that so much that they're willing to make whatever sacrifices we must in order to go to heaven. And part of the sacrifices that we must make is realizing we're not going to fit in with the majority of people in the world around us. We might not fit in with the closest family members, the closest friends, the closest coworkers, the closest neighbors. We might not fit in with some of those closest to us if we choose to go down that straight and narrow path that leads to spending eternity in heaven with God. And so the question is, do I want to go to heaven more than I want to fit in with the majority of people in the world around us? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, we see another passage that demonstrates what this looks like as it's put into practice as we choose to truly go down that straight and narrow path that leads to life, how this affects fitting in, if you will, with those in the world around us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Peter, writing to Christians in this epistle, says, beginning at verse 3, "We have spent enough of our pastime doing the desire of the Gentiles and having walked in lewdness, lusts, drunken binges, orgies, carousings, and abominable idolatries." He says in verse 4, "They think it strange that you don't run with them into the same excessive rite, blasphemy." He says this is the reaction that we get, especially if it's people who we used to run with in immoral behavior. This is particularly the reaction we get, but more generally, this is the reaction that we get from the world around us. When we choose the path of righteousness, a lot of people are going to think it strange. A lot of people are going to speak evil of us because of that. It's going to be a situation where we're going to have to choose, do I want to please God? Do I want to follow His Son? Do I want to go to heaven more than I want to fit in with people in the world around me? And it's something that will challenge whether we really want to go to heaven more than anything in the world. But something else that is an application of this principle that we might consider is, do we want to go to heaven more than we want to remain in our quote-unquote comfort zone? And we understand that term that is often used as a figure of speech to describe the fact that most people don't want to have to go outside what is normal for us, what we're used to, what we're comfortable with. Most people don't want to have to be pushed out of that. And a question that we need to ask ourselves is not just do I want to go to heaven, but do I want to go to heaven more than I want to remain in my comfort zone? We're going to be faced with that choice many times if we want to serve the Lord faithfully. There's lots of examples in Scripture of people who have been pushed way out of their comfort zones in order to please God. Just one example we'll look at here this morning is the example of the Apostle Paul as he was writing that epistle to the Galatian brethren. And it's evident throughout this epistle just how much he cares for them. At one point, it's evident just how much they cared for him, as he alludes to the fact that they would have plucked out their eye for him. But they, it's evident at this point, were not very pleased with Paul. Paul at least doesn't seem to express that they would be very pleased with him because of what he has to say in this epistle and concerning this issue with the Judaizers. And so he asks this rhetorical question in Galatians 4:16, "Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth?" It's evident Paul didn't want to be anybody's enemy. We saw that alluded to in 2 Corinthians in the class that meets out here this morning as well. Paul wasn't wanting to be anybody's enemy. Paul, it was his desire, it's evident, to be the friend of every Christian who he wrote to, who he spoke to. It was his desire to be their friend, but he wasn't going to compromise truth. He wasn't going to compromise what he knew was God's will for him in order to make that happen. And that demonstrates this principle that Paul wanted to please God more than he wanted to stay in his comfort zone. I can't imagine how uncomfortable it would have made Paul feel to have to say some of the things he had to say to the brethren that he wrote to, the brethren that he spoke to. But he wanted to please God more than he wanted to stay in his comfort zone. And that's something that ought to be true of each of us as well. A similar point that we might consider that expresses this, maybe just in a little bit different language, is a question of, do I want to do what's right more than I want to do what's easy? We first of all, need to want to do what's right. That's important. But what's more important, what's further important, is this question of, do I want to do what's right more than I want to do what's easy? Do I want to do what's right more than what will leave me in my comfort zone? And there's all kinds of applications of that principle. There's all kinds of things that are called, that we're called to do if we're going to please God, that might push us out of our comfort zone. And as we look at what the Scriptures teach about what pleasing God is about, we come to find it is certainly not a life of ease as we walk here on this earth. It's a life that involves having a hope of eternal comfort, of eternal rest with God. But it's not a life that involves great ease and comfort and pleasure as we're here upon this earth. There's a lot of difficulty involved in serving the Lord faithfully, and there's great diligence required on our part. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, as the inspired Apostle Paul there is describing the transformed lifestyle that we ought to live in consideration of the great mercies of God and what He's done for us, when we choose, I'm going to present myself a living sacrifice to God, I'm going to let Him transform me. Romans chapter 12 describes what that looks like. And one of the things said in Romans 12 and verse 11 is that this transformed lifestyle involves not lagging in diligence. Not lagging in diligence. When Peter talks about different things to add to our faith in 2 Peter 1, passage that was read this morning, he gives the expression there, the way the King James renders the first part of that verse, is to say, besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, and so forth. Besides all this, giving all diligence. It's not going to be easy if we're going to add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love and self-control. I mentioned temperance in there. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take diligence on our part to develop the kind of character that God wants from us. It doesn't happen by just putting our lives on autopilot and expecting to just stay in one's quote-unquote comfort zone all the time. It doesn't happen by just expecting that we're just going to automatically become that way because we're baptized and we'll just automatically, without putting forth deliberate effort, become all that God wants us to be. It's something that requires diligence on our part. And so a question for us to ask is not just do I want to please God, not just do I want to go to heaven, but do I want that more than I want a life of ease here on this earth? Do I want that more than I want to stay in my comfort zone as I'm here upon this earth? That's a question we all have to ask. And one final point to consider here this morning, and then we'll look at some additional points, Lord willing, this afternoon, is this question of do I want to go to heaven more than I want to avoid making undesirable changes in my life? One way that the Scriptures push us out of our comfort zone as we heed them is by having to make undesirable changes, having to do things that we look at and think, that's something that I definitely do not want to do. The question then becomes, not just do I want to go to heaven, but do I want that more than I want to avoid whatever change I see from Scripture God would have me to pursue? And we can see this exemplified with the passage there in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7, and thinking about these things that God tells us to give all diligence to add to our faith. He tells us to give all diligence to add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. If there's any part of that that is lacking in our character, if there's any part of that, or any part of Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, or any part of Colossians 3, 12 through 15, things that we're to put on, if any part of that is lagging in our character, we look at that and we say, well, that's not something that is I really desire to be. I mean, I commend those people who are those things, but that's not really me, and I don't really care to be that way. The question then becomes, not just do I want to go to heaven, but do I want to go to heaven more than I want to avoid making this change that God clearly calls me to make in His Word? And that's true with any change that God calls us to make through His inspired Word. That's true with regard to any sinful thing we need to put away. We'll touch a little bit more on that this afternoon as we get into the passing, the fleeting pleasures of sin. It's true with regard to any positive activity that God calls us to pursue. If I'm not in the habit of being devoted to prayer like I ought to be, the question becomes not just do I want to go to heaven, but do I want to go to heaven more than I want to avoid the diligence, the effort that needs to be put forth in order to become devoted to prayer day in and day out in my life. And that's true with any positive thing God wants us to pursue or with any negative thing He wants us to put away. An example of how difficult it can be to make the changes that God desires us to make, if we're going to please Him, is seen with Saul of Tarsus and thinking about the situation he would have been in when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus there in Acts chapter 9. I really believe that this question he asked in verse 6, after he was told, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks," this question that he asked, I really believe, not just because of Acts 9, but because of the rest of what we read about Paul throughout the New Testament, I really believe this question was the key to the rest of Paul's life. The rest of what we read about Paul from this moment onward, I believe the key was in this question that he asked in verse 6 of Acts chapter 9. But think about the situation he was in here. He was in a situation where he had been dedicating his life to persecuting Christians, trying to put a stop to the spread of this religion that was based upon Jesus himself. He was trying to put a stop to it. He was devoted to it more zealously probably than anybody, as he was such a zealous persecutor of Christians. And now he learns, this one whose followers I've been persecuting severely, after all, he has been and is who he claims to be after all. When he learns that, think of how difficult it would have been for Paul in that situation. Think about how easy it would have been if he wanted to stay in his comfort zone. Maybe at the most he would have just said, "Well, okay, I'll stop persecuting your followers. I'll stop kicking against the goats. But I can't bring myself to the point that I would give myself over to you, Jesus." But think about the question that he asked. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, he asked, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" If you don't have that in Acts 9, 6, you can see it in Acts chapter 22, around first part of that chapter as he's recounting his conversion story there. Some translations have it here in Acts 9, 6, and others don't. But that question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" was a demonstration of the attitude that the Apostle Paul had, that he didn't just want to please God. He wanted to please God, I believe, before his conversion. It's clear he wanted to go to heaven, but this was a whole lot more than that. This was him wanting to please God, wanting to go to heaven more than anything in the world. Him wanting to please God, wanting to go to heaven so much that he was willing to go to the point of totally changing his life so that he was no longer devoted to persecuting Christians, and instead he'd do a complete 180 and he'd have to go to his former friends who were zealous persecutors of Christians and say, "I've totally flip-flopped on this." He would have to go to people who were Christians themselves, who knew that he was once a zealous persecutor of Christians, and try to win their favor, so to speak. He would have to do so many undesirable things in order for him to please God. But he wanted that more than anything in the world. He wanted that more than he wanted to have to avoid making undesirable changes in his life. And we need to desire that as well. It may be just one thing with us. With Paul, this was his entire life. The central focus of his life was completely changing. With us, it might be that we've accepted God's will on a lot of subjects, and there's a lot of things that we have no problem heeding concerning what God says. But maybe there's just one specific subject that God's Word shows we really need to change our view, change our practice on, and that's really difficult for us. Maybe there's one thing that really gets at us that's hard for us to accept. When we ask the question, "Do I want to go to heaven more than anything in the world?" we want to realize it's not just asking, "Do I want to go to heaven?" It's asking, "Do I want to go to heaven more than I want to avoid accepting this truth?" Maybe it's the most difficult truth in God's Word for us to accept. The question is, do I want to go to heaven more than I want to avoid having to accept this truth that God's Word teaches, whatever it might be? And that really demonstrates the depth of this statement, "I want to go to heaven more than anything in the world." That's a lot more than just wanting to go to heaven. I think probably the vast majority of people, at least who believe in heaven and hell, would say if one was to ask them, do you want to go to heaven? Well, of course I want to go to heaven. I think most people who are religious, who are in the world of quote-unquote churchianity, do you want to please God? Well, of course I want to please God. Do you want to follow His Son? Well, of course I want to be a follower of His Son. That question, that's important to answer, and that's the starting point, if you will. But saying, I want to please God, I want to go to heaven, is a whole lot more than anything in the world, is a whole lot more than that. It's saying, I want that more than I want to please the closest family members and friends to me, more than I want the praise of others, more than I want to stay in my comfort zone, more than I want to stay away from maybe a certain truth here or there in God's Word that I really don't want to accept. It's saying, I really want to please God and want to go to heaven more than anything in the world. So whatever it takes, whatever I must forsake, whatever I must pursue, I'm willing to do it because I want to go to heaven more than anything in the world. And that's something I would hope is a desire of each and every one of us here this morning. Not just wanting to go to heaven, that's the start, but wanting to go to heaven, wanting to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, ultimately all the way to heaven, more than anything in the world. If you're here this morning and you're not right with God for any reason, we'd exhort you to consider this. Think about your soul's condition. Think about what is worth losing your soul for eternity. Think about the commitment that God demands of you, that God demands of all of us. It's not just enough to say, well, I want to go to heaven. That's good. It's a start. But it needs to be followed up with a determination. I'm willing to make whatever sacrifices I need to do that because I want to go to heaven more than anything in the world. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you can choose to do that by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, by deciding you want to give your life to Him in repentance, by confessing your faith in Him as a repentant believer, and then you can be baptized in His name for the remission of your sins and arise to walk in newness of life as one who has that great hope of now being able to look forward to spending eternity in heaven with God. If you're a Christian with sin in your life, we'd exhort you to repent of that. Go to God in prayer. Ask for His forgiveness. And if you need to ask for the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well. So if you are here and you need to respond publicly to the gospel call, won't you come forward as we stand and sing?